Have your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1, book of Romans, and chapter number 1. I want to read the first seven verses of this chapter, Romans chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1, says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we can gather together. Lord, we thank you that there are those moments that are solemn, very serious. As we come to your word, we realize the seriousness of your word. We're also thankful for those moments that are light and bring laughter to our soul. Lord, we're thankful for that which causes us to think of you. And we're thankful, oh God, tonight for those things that cause us to think of others. Lord, I pray that you would work in our midst tonight. Do a work. Though many be gone, we who are here need your word. We need your guidance. We need your leadership. We pray now that you'll bless in this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was searching, wondering what kind of a title could I put on this message. What I wrote down was, He is greater than all. But as I think about that, I think about our God and what sets Him apart from all others. What is there different about the Lord Jesus Christ as, let's say, Buddha? Or what is different about Jesus the Christ as compared to Muhammad? What is different? And I believe that it's very obvious. There are two things that are mentioned in verse number 4 that I believe that really teach us his difference. Notice there it says, and declared to be what? The Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The great power of God displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ really in two very dramatic ways. One is his holiness. You study the life of Muhammad, you find he was a very licentious man. You find that he was really a killer at heart. You find that he was a terrorist, and that was what he fomented, and he was a man of hatred in many regards. A man who was very licentious, but our Savior is holy. Not one sin within him. We find that there's something else that sets Jesus, our Christ, ahead of all others, and that is that he came back from the dead. You go over to Moscow and you walk through some of their areas and some of their historic places, and you'll find that there are some tombs there. Matter of fact, one of those tombs, you can look through a glass and see a former leader. And they pay homage to him, and they almost worship him, but there's something true about him. He's dead. His body's in the tomb. His soul has never been seen. He's never been seen to walk upon the face of the earth. Muhammad's never come back. Confucius never come back. Who's that fat boy that's a rock? Buddha never came back, but Jesus Christ, he did. Back from the dead. Amen. And so we have a risen Savior today. None of the world's religions have a God and Savior like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest of all. He's separate from all others. And His followers, by their new nature, are separated unto Him in all actions and attitudes. We find this being very, very evident in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's interesting that here is a man whose name was Saul. Saul meaning demanded or asked for. And then his name changed to Paul, which simply means in the Latin literal. And so this man, who was very grand and one who was well respected, became small in the eyes of the world, but large in the heart and mind of God. He identified himself as a servant. Immediately in this text, you see that Paul, servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Christ, one who is willing to become such. And by the way, the Lord doesn't force that upon us. It's something that we just, if we take on His nature, comes naturally. I was talking to a preacher friend just the other day, and we were talking about missionaries, and we were talking about how we kind of figure out what is God's will in this area. What does God want us to do in this area? Because we have a number of missionaries come, and certainly we don't support all those, and one of the things that is doing is finding out some things about them. On a few occasions, we found out they've had beliefs that were contrary to what we believe. And on some cases, we found out they had some practices that were just, in my mind, just a little bit questionable. And yet the thing that I always look for is, do they have a servant's heart? There's something that takes place. Most men who come in, they generally have now a video. Remember the old, they'd carry in their slide projectors. And if you remember in our church a number of years ago, and we'd have missions conference, and when Kimmel was here, why, they'd be showing their slides, and pretty soon one of them would be upside down, because Kimmel, when nobody was looking, would go turn one of those upside down. And if you were setting up near the front and could see Kimmel, and you know the guy weighed around 400 pounds, and it just did not, when he laughed, you could tell it. I mean, he'd be shaking up and down with laughter, and everybody else, he'd be going on. They come in with those, and they generally have a display. And one of the things they ask is, do you have a table to put the display on? And, yeah, we have tables around here. And now at my age especially, one of the things that really becomes a critical point, do they let me go get it, or do they go get it? So what's the big deal about that? A missionary who's not willing to do the little things won't do the big things. And it's an amazing thing. Do they have a servant's heart? And Paul, he's identified as a servant. Paul, I believe, was a great servant for God. Matter of fact, you read in Acts chapter number 9, it seems like almost immediately after he got saved, he became a servant. He's also called an apostle here. An apostle. A term that simply means one who is sent. He is one who goes and declares the gospel. You say, well, I declare the gospel. Well, yes, we're all to declare the gospel, but there was something a little unique about those. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 9:1, I think we see what it is. He says, am not I apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? It seems to me that an apostle is one who actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ after he arose from the grave. Paul seen him. Matter of fact, he refers to that in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, and last of all, he says, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Paul, an apostle. But we notice something else about the apostle Paul, and it's what I'd like for us to really zero in tonight. Notice what he says, separated unto the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel. A Christian who is separated from and not unto Christ will have an empty, barren life. We'll talk more about that, but listen, a Christian, one who is separated from things, and boy, they wouldn't do this and they wouldn't do that, but they just don't do much of anything. Many times we become very cynical, become very proud and critical of others. It's kind of like a man who marries a wife and he didn't run around with the other women, but he doesn't enjoy his wife either. If you're a separated Christian, you're going to have a life that appeals to somebody else. Matter of fact, if you're separated unto Christ, you are now salt. Salt is something that ought to make other people thirsty, desirous of the gospel. And so Paul, it said here, he was separated unto the gospel of God. Excuse me. The Greek word for separate is, well, I don't know if I can say it, apharizo. We get our word horizon from this. As you go up in a plane, you see more horizon. And when you go up to Jesus, when you separate it unto Him, your horizon, it enlarges. Paul said to the Corinthians, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, he says, I put away childish things. Separated unto the gospel. Something very important about that that we need to understand. And that is, when God calls us and wants us to be different, it's not just going away from things, it's going unto some things. When we put some things out of our life and we don't replace it, I'll guarantee you something, you'll be back where you started from. Just the way it is. You say, well, man, I got saved, I quit going to the bars. Where are you going? It'll be church, amen? It'll be just some godly things. And so things are going to change in the life where they ought to. And herein we find that Christians make a couple of mistakes. One of those is they will separate from the world, but not unto Christ. In Leviticus, he says, and ye shall be holy unto me, speaking of the Levites especially, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. He said, severed from others. God wants you and I to be different. Christians ought to be different. Huh? And so we separate from the things of the world. And to not do the things you used to do, that is excellent. Matter of fact, it is honorable. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to this, and such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God saved us. God saved us from some things. He separates us from it. God wants us to live different. Amen? And He wants us to quit doing some things that were back there in that previous life. But God didn't save us to just quit bad things. God saved us to start good things. In the book of Ephesians, he states it like this. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Put off concerning what? The former behavior that we had. The former conversation. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your life, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You say, preacher, these are very simple things. Yes, but we sometimes don't get it. We are to put off and we're to put on. And sometimes we get so taken up with putting off, we don't put on. And sometimes, by the way, we get so interested in trying to get others to put off, and take that in the right context, and don't teach them to put on. Sometimes they're so interested in children and young folks and what have you to quit doing some things that they think, wow, what are we going to do? Nothing. And we don't teach, hey, there's a tremendous world for the Christian. There's a brightness, there's a beauty, there's a wonderful thing that you have, that we have in Christ. So we find oftentimes, though, that we get so interested in putting on or putting off, we don't put on. We get so interested in separating ourselves from that we don't separate unto. But let's go the other direction for a moment. And sometimes we get so interested in a backlash or a way of separating unto Christ, but not from the world. So what do you mean, preacher? far too many people are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and do it in the old way. It don't work. It don't work. The very first car that I owned was a 1955 Ford. I don't even know what the different things were back then. Did they have Galaxy? I don't remember what they were. Fairlane, I think. Anyways, it was some car. When we parked it at night, I always backed in and Dad would pull in front. There was a reason for that, because he wanted to be able to get out without my car blocking him, because it wouldn't always start. And we always pulled him hood to hood, because normally it needed just a little bit more boost with it, so we'd have to jumper it. And morning after morning we did that, especially if the weather got cold, you know, down around 70. And it was that way. It had a lot of what we used to call blow-by. I don't know what that's called today. It just simply didn't have a very good motor in it. And I finally ended up buying another car. And it was quite a different one. It was a 4 years newer. It was a 59 Ford, but there was something different about this one. The first one I bought, it had quite a few miles on it. Back in those days, you had a car over 100,000 miles, you had a wore-out car. And it was wore out. And I found out about this 59 Ford, and it was owned by an old lady school teacher. And you say, oh, yeah, right. It was. I knew her. It was 6 years old when I bought it, and it had 15,000 miles on it. It had everything original. There were a few problems with it, though. The radio did not work right. It had never been turned on. The speaker had gotten so dusty that when you turned it on, it just had kind of a little staticky because of it. She had never pulled the headlight switch on. They did work. She never drove it at night. The windshield wipers only worked on a very few occasions, because if the weather was inclement at all, she lived one block from the bus line and she got on the bus and rode the bus to school, which let her out right in front of school. So she didn't drive in bad weather. It had never seen the salt of the street. She didn't drive in the wintertime. And I bought that car. It was like night and day. There was such a difference. It was like putting off the old and putting on the new. It wasn't brand new, but it was pretty close. Matter of fact, the day I drove it home, I gave $900 for it, and a guy offered me $1,200. I turned it down because I did not think I could buy a car comparable for $1,200. Now, to understand those figures, you've got to take it by about 10 or 12 today, but that's back in the 60s. But in order for me to be able to get around, I had to put off the old and put on the new. And the new was a whole lot better. The old was not envied by anybody. There wasn't anybody saying, hey, Springer, I'd like to have that car. I'd like to be like that. But now it was envious. It ran well. It was in good shape. Not a rest spot on it. The only problem I had is I got hot roddy and decided to trade it for a hot rod. But you and I, if we're going to do well, not only separate from, we need to separate unto. Now, I may be speaking to the choir tonight, but you listen, there are folks that you and I, we have influence in their lives. And if there's something we need to try to help people with is, hey, listen, don't be stupid and try to live for Christ in the old way. It does not work. It doesn't work. No matter how good your heart may be, nor how intense your desire is for the Lord, you can't reach the world living like they do. It doesn't work.
You can't act the way they do. You can't have attitudes like they do. You can't dress like they do, smell like they do, look like they do. It just does not work. Go ahead, spike your hair and paint it pink and green and yellow and put all sorts of stuff all over you. I don't even know what to say in that area. But all the stuff the world's doing, and then tell them all the great things Christ has done for you. And what are they going to say? Well, you're no different than us. Christ is different than all other saviors, and Christians who mirror His image must be different from all other believers. And when I say all other believers, I'm talking about other religious believers, because they have believers too. They believe in their religion. We are to separate from, but we're to separate unto. And we make the mistake sometimes that we just separate from and we don't, what? Take on the new. We don't get the new practices. We don't go in the new direction. And then sometimes we rebel against some people's rules and standards and all these kinds of things that go on. And we say, well, I'm just going to walk for Christ and do it like the rest of the world does. It don't work either. Jesus was different. I believe the Apostle Paul was different. You just write it down. You're going to be different. So I don't want to be different from the world. Well, then be lost and go to hell. But if you're saved, you're going to heaven and you're different already. And you just want to own up to it and live like it and get some other folks to go with you. Amen? Way it ought to work. Separate unto Christ, but not from the world. That don't work either. I remember a few years ago when the hippie movement was in vogue and you had all the changes in dress styles, and there were certain Christians who thought, if I'm going to reach the hippies, I'm going to have to be like they are. You don't have to do that. It doesn't need to be done. I learned something. The year was 1979. I had heard about Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. I heard about Harvey Springer. In fact, I was asking Bible school a number of times, was he my dad? I didn't even know who they was talking about. I didn't realize the very same year I was born, he started Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. They're in the mountains just west of Sedalia, Colorado. I didn't know that. I was in Seattle, and there was an old preacher that became a member of our church, and he told me how he used to, from Seattle, drive to that camp with a group of young men and women. And he was a cowboy-type guy, and he just loved it. I got back here, and there was a couple guys that were going out there. And I thought, wow, we need to go to a good youth camp. We packed up two cars. I think there was 10 of us all together. It might have been 12, I forget. We drove to North Platte. Stayed overnight and slept on the pews of a church in North Platte and drove the rest of the way the next day. I didn't know most people went out on Sunday and they were ready to go Monday morning. So we're the last ones to get there. That was okay. I remember the first service I sat in was a Monday night. There was an old man preaching. I was sitting next to another preacher, and the service got over, and man, I felt the tug of God in my heart, and I thought the same there. And something very unusual, by the way, that took place that first several years I went, they didn't always have an invitation. No invitation given, but I knew God was moving and working. The preacher sat next to me. He was new, first time, and he leans over to me and he says, why have they got this old man up here preaching to these kids? I don't know. Maybe they think he knows what he's talking about. I didn't know.
And I didn't question it, just went with it. I don't remember who the old man was. I believe it was either Dan Allen or Al Wells. By the way, at that time, Al Wells, I thought, was old. I later knew him when he was old. And Thursday night, we were at Chuck Wagon. We got done eating, and I remember they said something about not to get up after you get done eating and wait until you're called, because all the staff people, they got to get their food, and they'll call us for leftovers, or not leftovers, for seconds, and to throw away your garbage. And you folks who've been there, you know the drill, and all goes on. And wouldn't you know it, a young man from our group got up and took his stuff to the trash barrel. And immediately, the camp director, he says, "Where are you from, son?" And he said, "Iowa." And they ridiculed Owens for being people who did not listen to instructions. And everybody laughed. I had to laugh too, because it was kind of funny. Especially the kid that was with us. And then I saw them after everybody had their seconds, and they'd taken the trash up and threw it away, and they'd done a little skit, and you folks been there, you know, they've done this for years. And the skit, it was hilarious, and everybody was laughing, and Al Wells gets up. He wasn't preaching that night, but he did something nobody's ever been able to do to copy. He told about how in the old days the cowboys would be sitting around the campfire. They maybe had just gotten done with their lunch, and up would ride the circuit preacher. And then he would tell how the circuit preacher had just arrived. And he'd always ride in on horseback about that time. And he said, "Now we're going to listen to him. He's got a word from God." While he was doing that, I saw the workers. They were scattered around. They had milk cartons. They were just going everywhere, all around that chuck wagon and spread out around. I thought, what are they doing? When the preacher got done that night, it was the first time they had an invitation. He's an old man. He preached. An invitation came. And there was not a spot down there that wasn't filled with 3 and 4 and 5 people around all of those milk cartons. That was the altar that night. And there were scores of young people that got saved that night, listening to that old man who didn't come in and use the jargon of the kids. He was not flashy. He was himself in the Spirit of God. You see, God wants to use you, and to use you in that new person. Not with the drag of the old life. Not with those things, but in a new person, putting off and putting on. It was interesting. The preacher sat to me next to me Monday night, left the camp and never came back. We've been going there almost ever since. God has done some marvelous things in the midst of our peoples that have gone. What did I learn? God wants to use people who are separated unto Him, separated from the world, and people who are not trying to reach young people with fancy stories and so forth. And of course, there's Ron Jones. But by the way, Ron Jones is the new man. He's kind of goofy.
but he's the real deal. And he's an older guy now that has a heart. And that's what's important. And a guy that's changed, a guy that's walked away from an old life. By the way, did you folks know that man earned in excess of $150,000 and $200,000 a year? He walked away from it. Spent some time in near poverty because he wanted to serve God. Some changes that took place. That's what we need in our lives. Amen? That's what we need to teach our young folks. That's what we need to teach folks about us. We put off, but we put on. It's not a one-way deal. It's not just putting on. It's not just putting off. It's both. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Bless, Lord Jesus, that we might understand this truth. You said to put off and to put on. And too often we just kind of go in one direction or the other. What silly mistakes we often make. Lord God, I pray for each one here in this room tonight. We might inspect our hearts. Maybe there's some things that we need to put off. There's some things in our lives that really are not pleasing to God. Maybe there's some things that we need to do. Some things that we need to be. Some attitudes that we ought to put off and we ought to put on. Lord God, I pray you just work in our midst this evening. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask you to stand, please. As he plays a verse or two, if God has spoken to your heart and you need to do something, take advantage of it. Take advantage. Well, God's been good today. He's good every day, actually. And how we ought to just praise Him, love Him. Say some good words to some people around you. Don't get in a great big hurry. You know, it might save you from an accident. You know, I don't know what it might do to bless somebody's soul. Amen. And then have a good week. You do that? You sure? Come on, just say yes. Yeah, I'm going to have a good week. Yeah. Father, tonight we thank you so much for the privilege of this day. We ask your blessing as we go our ways, and that everyone in this room might see and understand the blessings of God. Lord, we may have difficult times, but we have you to go through. Thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.